Macmillan Audio presents The Black-Eyed Blonde, a Philip Marlowe novel by Benjamin Black, read by Dennis Boutsakaris. Chapter 1. It was one of those Tuesday afternoons in summer when you wonder if the earth has stopped revolving. The telephone on my desk had the air of something that knows it's being watched. Cars trickled past in the street below the dusty window of my office, and a few of the good folks of our fair city ambled along the sidewalk, men in hats, mostly, going nowhere. I watched a woman at the corner of Cahuenga and Hollywood, waiting for the light to change. Long legs, a slim cream jacket with high shoulders, navy blue pencil skirt. She wore a hat, too, a skimpy affair that made it seem as if a small bird had alighted on the side of her hair and settled there happily. She looked left and right and left again. She must have been so good when she was a little girl. Then crossed the sunlit street, treading gracefully on her own shadow. So far, it had been a lean season. I had done a week playing bodyguard to a guy who had flown in from New York on the Clipper. He had a blue jaw and wore a gold wristband and a pinky ring with a ruby in it as big as a boysenberry. He said he was a businessman, and I decided to believe him. He was worried and sweated a lot, but nothing happened, and I got paid. Then Bernie Oles in the sheriff's office put me in touch with a nice little old lady whose hophead son had pinched her late husband's rare coin collection. I had to apply a little muscle to get the goods back, but nothing serious. There was a coin in there with the head of Alexander the Great on it, and another one showing Cleopatra in profile with that big nose of hers. What did they all see in her? The buzzer sounded to announce that the outer door had opened, and I heard a woman walk across the waiting room and pause a moment at the door of my office. The sound of high heels on a wooden floor always gets something going in me. I was about to call to her to come in, using my special deep-toned, you-can-trust-me-I'm-a-detective voice, when she came in anyway, without knocking. She was taller than she had seemed when I saw her from the window, tall and slender, with broad shoulders and trim hips. My type, in other words. The hat she wore had a veil, a dainty visor of spotted black silk that stopped at the tip of her nose, and a nice tip it was, to a very nice nose, aristocratic but not too narrow or too long, and nothing at all like Cleopatra's jumbo schnozzle. She wore elbow-length gloves, pale cream to match her jacket, and fashioned from the hide of some rare creature that had spent its brief life bounding delicately over alpine crags. She had a good smile, friendly, so far as it went, and a little lopsided in an attractively sardonic way. Her hair was blonde and her eyes were black, black and deep as a mountain lake, the lids exquisitely tapered at their outer corners. A blonde with black eyes. That's not a combination you get very often. I tried not to look at her legs. Obviously, the god of Tuesday afternoons had decided I deserved a little lift. "The name is Cavendish," she said. I invited her to sit down. If I'd known it was me she was coming to call on, I would have brushed my hair and applied a dab of bay rum behind my earlobes, but she had to take me as I was. She didn't seem to disapprove too much of what she was seeing. She sat down in front of my desk on the chair I had pointed her to and took off her gloves finger by finger, studying me with her steady black eyes. "What can I do for you, Miss Cavendish?" I asked. "Mrs. Sorry, Mrs. Cavendish. A friend told me about you." "Oh, yes? Good things, I hope." I offered her one of the camels I keep in a box on my desk for clients, but she opened her patent leather purse and took out a silver case and flipped it open with her thumb. Sobrani Black Russian. What else? When I struck a match and offered it across the desk, she leaned forward and bent her head with dipped lashes and touched a fingertip briefly to the back of my hand. I admired her pearl-pink nail polish, but didn't say so. She sat back in the chair and crossed her legs under the narrow blue skirt and gave me that coolly appraising look again. She was taking her time in deciding what she should make of me. "I want you to find someone," she said. "Right. Who would that be?" "A man named Peterson. Nico Peterson." "Friend of yours?" "He used to be my lover."